Now, on the line, I have Paolo Viscardi, and he is the natural history curator at the Museum of Natural History. And I just have to say, this is going to be brilliant. Paolo, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you keeping?
Not bad. Paolo, I have to say, this is something, I'm so excited here. The Dead Zoo is, for me, from my childhood, it is just brilliant. It's something that my parents brought us to, and we always wanted to go back. We always wanted to go back in because there's so much in there, so fascinating. And with modern technology, you are opening it up. Tell us all about it.
Well, at the moment, we're not able to open because we're having some building works done. So we had to find other ways of making the amazing collections here and the amazing building here as accessible as possible to people. One of those ways is we've been sharing the contents of the building through a 3D tour. So that's something which you can get to from our website very easily. But in the next, I think it's next Friday, we're doing an event run in conjunction with the Irish Architecture Foundation Open House. And this is something which we're doing kind of not just on this site, but some of the other museum sites. Over in Collins Barracks, for example, we've got an exhibition called Little Houses, which was created by young people in response to the experiences through COVID-19 pandemic. And they're doing tours of those sites as well. But what we'll be doing for this site is having a bit of a an event where we're talking with myself and our head of operations, Aoife Hurley, who is a architect by training, and her background's actually in conservation architecture. She used to be at the OPW. So she has a really good understanding.
I'm afraid we lost Paolo there. We'll just have to see if we can get him back.
Hello,
Paolo, you're back.
Hello, I'm back. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened there. So the Dead Zoo is 165 years old, and we're looking forward to an opportunity to talk about some of the history of the building, about the way in which it's put together, and some of the issues that we've been facing as we've been trying to get the roof sorted out and deal with the collections inside to allow us to get them with some work in the space.
Oh, you're gone again, Paolo.
Yeah.
You're back.
Hello. Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on here. It's.
Are you in the museum at the moment?
I am indeed in the museum right now.
Well, I can just imagine that building, a fabulous, fabulous building that it is, but there must be dead spots and everything. The walls are so thick.
The walls are very thick.
Yeah.
Very, very thick.
Yeah.
And at the moment, that's one of the things we're looking at is we need to drill into the walls to be able to do the roof work, to be able to put in some protection to stop things from falling through from the roof. So we're going to be seeing exactly how thick those walls are very soon.
And that this is happening next Friday, the 15th.
That's correct.
When I do a podcast of this interview, I am going to stick the website that you can get a ticket to listen in there.
Yeah, so you can find it just on museum.ie, and just scroll down on the front page and you can find the link to the Eventbrite. And you do need to register to get the link to attend the event.
Yeah, I'm going to stick that up there because I think this is brilliant. But this isn't the only thing you're doing. You're promoting schools. You have at the moment you have a virtual schools program that runs for over the autumn and winter, and there's loads of different things. I take it this isn't going to be the only event that you're going to do over Zoom or over the interweb.
Oh no, we've had quite a large increase in our ability to deliver virtual events, and we're finding that they're very successful. People are really enjoying them, and we have plenty of them lined up. And again, the museum website is a great resource for seeing exactly what's going on. And everything for October is kind of laid out on a web page for October, and each month's activities will be available on that website.
Yeah, it's so pretty. I'm looking at the photograph that goes along with Open House conversation about the dead zoo, and it is only brilliant. You've got the hippo there, and you've got the zebra, and you have the what I take it is the skeleton of a whale, and is it a T-Rex or something in the background?
That's actually a giraffe, in the background there, and there are two whales hanging from the ceiling. Now, those whales aren't there anymore. It's been a busy time over the last year. This time last year, we were taking the smaller of those two whales apart and taking out the building. So it's been a lot of activity over the last year. While everyone else has been kind of stuck indoors, we've had emergency works going on to make sure that we can keep the collection safe.
Indeed, yeah, and what a collection you have, you know, from the tiniest little bugs and butterflies and so forth, all the way up.
Yeah, and we have around 2 million objects in the natural history collection, and they do range from little tiny wasps the size of a full stop, right the way up to the fin whale, which is about 20 metres long and the second biggest animal on the planet.
Yeah, it's absolutely fat. I don't know any child who wouldn't be fascinated, and I consider myself a big child, that, you know, wouldn't be fascinated by it, and could have hours of endless fun, entertainment, and education in there.
I think one of the beauties of the Dead Zoo is there are so many objects. There are around 10,000 on display, or there were around 10,000 on display, and it means that you can't look anywhere without seeing something unusual and different and that you wouldn't normally see, and getting right up close to them. I think it's a wonderful place, and absolutely just a fantastic place to work and a fantastic place to visit. So we really hope to be able to keep that sense of fascination going when we come to reopen again.
And I hope you will come on again and talk to us about the visual tours and the different events that you're going to be holding going forward. But before I let you go, would you tell me what is your favourite piece in the museum?
People ask me that quite often, and they're like my children. You can't pick a favourite. There are some which annoy me more than others, but it's very difficult to pick a favourite. We do have an Irish wolfhound head, which is a little bit on the gruesome side because it's very, very old and was taxidermied in a very basic way. It's got wooden eyes which have been painted and full of splinters and all sorts. And because it's so grotesque, I find it quite endearing. It's probably a quirk of my character.
Yes, and of course you have the what is fascinating to me is it the Irish red deer, the big ones.
Oh, the giant deer.
Giant deer.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, the giant deer are absolutely magnificent. And I think we probably have the biggest collection in the world of giant Irish deer, which is not really a big surprise. But they didn't just occur in Ireland; they occurred right across Europe. Okay. But we do have an incredible collection, and there are very few female giant deer in the world, and we do have a couple in the collection, which is quite remarkable.
And what gets me about that is that you see them and you compare them to the little deer that you have up in the Phoenix Park, and it just gives to show you what animals we are missing now that are gone.
Absolutely, and actually the fallow deer up in Phoenix Park are actually quite close relatives of the giant deer, we know that based on research done on the collections here. You can actually extract DNA from the bones of some of these giant extinct animals even today, and the technique's gone so good. It's an amazing resource having the museum here, and we can understand the world of the past a little bit better. And of course, for the world's the future.
Yeah. Well, now, you've just opened a can of worms for yourself there. Well, what you've just said, you said we can extract DNA from these. So we have everybody onto you. So can you not clone or bring them back then if you get the DNA from them?
Potentially. It's certainly not something that we would want to do ourselves, because at the end of the day, we're here to look after the museum and make sure the collections are available for people. But other people are out there doing exactly that kind of stuff. So cloning has happened of extinct species. Things like the Peronian ibex, there have been, well, semi-successful attempts to clone them. And there have been a whole variety of different kind of attempts to clone extinct species, and I think people are getting closer and closer to doing it.
Yeah, there's one at the moment going on, which I believe is the woolly mammoth.
Yes,
and they are trying to do that one, but that's for another day. That's not the one for the dead zoo, says you.
No. We're here to look after the stuff, not to bring some new things into the world. That's not really our place, and. That's a discussion for another day.
Exactly. Paolo, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and I hope you get loads and loads of people getting on to that free, and that's the one thing I should have said right from the start. This is a free event.
Absolutely.
There's no charge on this event. You just have to go and register yourself there on is it Eventbrite or one of those?
Yeah, that's right. Eventbrite.
And we'll give you the where to log on and where to get that. Brilliant speaking to you, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, Paolo. All the best.
That would be great. Many thanks.
And you too. Take care. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye bye.
All the best. Bye bye. Now there we go. That was Paolo Vescardi, and he is the curator of the natural history, he is natural history curator at the Museum of Natural History, and one of my favourite places to go, and I think probably for most Dublin children, it was a place you really wanted to go, the Dead Zoo, nothing like it.